Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and this is episode 244. And our guest today is Namitha from Bangalore in India, with an absolutely beautiful dream. I know it's a beautiful dream because we have just recorded it, and here I am at the beginning, putting on the beginning of the show. For those of you who have never listened to the Dream Show before, the idea is that we ask people to put up their hand and volunteer and come on the show to bring a dream for us to explore together and relate to their life. And although we check all, you know, what time of day are we going to do this, what's your Skype address, and sort out all the practicalities, I don't know anything about the dream until we press record and start. So what you hear is me hearing the dream for the first time and the steps that we take to explore that dream. If you consult me, I these days do it a bit differently. I do ask you to send me the dream in beforehand and give me time to look at it before we talk. But, you know, I know that you all love to listen to the dream show and hear it this way and work through the dream with me from scratch. So Namitha's dream, as I say, is very beautiful, and we go very deep on it. And as you'll hear, she is in lockdown. We only recorded this less than a week ago. So if you're listening to this in real time, you'll remember that India is in severe COVID crisis at the moment. So before we go to chat with Namitha and her very beautiful and uplifting dream, which gives so much insight into what's happening for her and how to proceed in her life from this point forward. It's a beautiful dream, beautiful insight. Just a note of the websites. If you haven't been to my websites for a while or never before, they are janeteresa.com. That's Teresa without an H. Now there you can listen to every episode of the Dream Show that's ever been, although you can also always listen to the most recent ones on all the usual platforms, you know, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, etc., basically wherever you listen. Also at janeteresa.com, you can read hundreds of blogs. You can find out about my books, my ebooks. You can find out how to consult me if you'd like to consult me privately. And you can also get from there to my learning website, which is the Dream Academy. And the direct address for the Dream Academy is dream-academy-online.com. And that's where you go if you want to do any of my courses, starting with how to interpret your dreams step by step, and going all the way up to professional dream therapy courses. In all of those courses, you can begin at any time, as soon as you enroll, and you work at it in your own time, no hurry, in your pace, at your own time, and go through it. You can read all about the courses at dream-academy-online.com. Or find me on social media, Facebook and Instagram. But let's get on to the more exciting part. Let's get on to Namitha and her dream. Welcome to the Dream Show, Namitha.
Thank you, Jane. I'm so happy to be here. And hello, Michael.
We're delighted to have you on. And you're in Bangalore, and I understand you're in quite severe lockdown at the moment.
Yes, it has been a lockdown since about 2 months now.
Yeah.
And it is pretty confusing time.
Yeah, absolutely. We've certainly been reading all about life in India at the moment, and it's very dark and difficult for you. So I'm so glad that you found space and time, particularly a space when everyone's at home to do this with us. So as usual, of course, I have no idea what dream any guest has brought with them. So it's over to you to describe your dream.
All right. So here goes my dream. I'm in a setting that resembles a Hindu temple in Bali, with ponds, flowers, priests, women wearing white sari. It's a crowded place. It's filled with people walking, chanting, talking. In one part of my dream, a woman falls into the pond. I'm observing all this from a close distance. It's almost I'm seated in a squatted position, and I see this woman walk past the pond, and suddenly she trips and falls down. An elderly lady who seems to be in authority of the happenings at this place comes to know of the woman who fell. But in spite of her knowing, and in spite of so many people being around the scene, nobody is really bothered about what happened. There's some kind of a talk to see what happened to the woman. I think somebody in the crowd, a man, talks to someone about this woman who fell down and that she tripped and she just went into the water. But there seems to be no initiative to kind of look into what happened. Yes, nobody seems to be doing anything about it. I think I notice it very clearly that, and it's surprising to me because it's like, in spite of so many people being around, like, nobody is really bothered about, and I almost think that she's probably drowning, or, you know, she could be saved with some help. I think these thoughts come in my mind. So I see a very colorful atmosphere in the setting. It has fresh green leaves, beautiful old trees, and the fringes on the pond, like the wall, is covered with fungi deposits, one of those, you know, like ponds which is really old, filled with water, and it has green deposit on it.
Yes.
And the kind that it almost, you know, if you're walking barefoot, I think you would like slip because it's like so slippery.
Yes.
And I see women wearing white saris, but also what's interesting is that women are wearing white saris, but not with their blouses on. It's kind of a very temple setting where women are wearing white saris with like fresh flowers in their hair. But they're wearing a sari which is very traditional. Not even traditional. I think it's a bit... okay, so let me just describe. I think they're wearing saris without the blouse, with one part of the shoulder seen, and I observe this. And there are fresh flowers of orange and yellow made into these garlands, and they're hanging everywhere, and I think people are praying, so they're doing all these rituals with plates covered with flowers and incense, and yeah, they're chanting. So it's very reminiscent to what I saw in a Hindu temple in Bali, also what I see here in Indian Hindu temples. But I think that scene kind of directly took me to what I witnessed in a temple in Bali. Yeah, so this is all about my dream.
And it ends there?
Yes, it ends here.
Yeah, that's a beautiful dream, Namitha. With the saris, just to get a little bit more information, you said, you know, that they were white saris, but they weren't wearing their blouses. So what was it, that they weren't wearing white blouses, or they were wearing different color blouses, or something completely different on top?
They weren't wearing any blouse. So, like, I have heard stories of ancient stories where women would actually not wear blouses inside. They would just take the sari, which is a 6-yard piece of cloth, and they would tie it around, and they would cover the upper body, but they would not really wear blouses. Blouses are more of a more newer, you know, thing.
Right.
I think it probably came in the 17th or 16th century, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so it was as if they were dressed in saris from before the 16th or 17th century, the whole costume.
Yes, it looked like one of the paintings that you see from the ancient Indian painting of women.
Did they, when you think about those paintings and you think about how the women were in those days and what their life was like, were the women that you saw in their dream, in your dream, similar in personality and their approach to life, or did they seem more like modern women but just wearing more ancient traditional clothes?
I think from what I saw, I could draw a resemblance to the kind of mind or the kind of heart that people from the ancient times had. I think they were more focused on one thing. They look like they have a very serene mind, less busy, and more focused on the rituals that they were doing at that point of time. And they looked jovial, they looked very calm.
All energies that you would probably love to have at this time of COVID at the moment.
Yes, absolutely.
When did you have this dream, Namitha?
This was on the 27th of May.
So it was about a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, two weeks ago.
So when we're looking at a dream, remembering that a dream is processing your conscious and unconscious experiences of the 1 to 2 days before the dream, and then comparing those experiences with anything from your past that resonates with it. And then the idea is that you're waking up with an updated mindset, and sometimes a dream even projecting ahead into what are possible futures and how would I cope with these. So when we're looking at the dream, we're looking at particularly what was happening for you on the couple of days before. That's 25th, 26th, 27th of May, depending on when the dream actually was. And like we both said, you were definitely in lockdown. So this is an energy that you probably weren't. Well, I should ask you about that, even though just as a, you know, while we're still doing the dream, but just while you're in lockdown, is there a sense of trying still to get things done that you would normally get done, the normal busyness of career and life? Or has there been any sense in your household of stepping back a little and doing more rituals?
I think especially in the second month of lockdown, I have been focusing on spiritual and doing rituals. And also it's kind of true what you said about energy. I think like a couple of weeks ago, I definitely felt a very unstable, a lot of commotion. Within myself. And also, I have to mention, I think it was the 26th when there was a total lunar eclipse.
Yes.
And I was following that very keenly. And I know that around the 25th or 26th, I'm not sure, one of those days, just before or after the eclipse, I had a very bad migraine and I couldn't sleep one whole day, and I had to pop a pill to kind of get sleep. So, and whenever I have migraines, I kind of, it's very depressing. It takes all my energy to a very low level.
So when you take the pills for the migraine, have you ever noticed whether they influence your dreams? Oh, because I guess you don't sleep, so you don't have dreams at that time.
That's interesting, but I haven't really noticed it like that.
So I love what you say there, that you've already identified that the dream came within a couple of days of the total lunar eclipse, which is one thing, but more importantly, that you were very interested in following the total lunar eclipse, which was another, and then again, your migraine. So we'll look at all those things together. And right at the start of the dream, and the start of the dream will often present the situation in your life that the whole dream is then processing, except that situation will be in symbolic terms, of course. And right at the beginning, even though it's a Hindu temple, and even as you say, there are definitely Hindu temples around where you live, it reminded you of a Hindu temple in Bali. Is that one that you have been to?
Yes, I visited Bali about 3 years ago.
3 years ago. And was that a holiday?
Yes, it was a holiday with a couple of my friends, and it was a very memorable holiday.
In a good sense or a bad sense?
In a very good sense.
In a good sense, okay.
Yeah.
So we start with it as if you've brought up a Hindu temple, a place of ritual, a place of prayer, a place of spirituality, but you've brought it up in the sense of going back 3 years ago, a memorable, good, a really good time. So straight up, there's the sense of the dream really is investigating. I'm ready for a good time. I would really, in some sense, like to go back 3 years, perhaps, and have that kind of escape or that kind of holiday. How do I bring that into my life now? How do I get that in my life now? But straight up, the first thing that happens is that the woman falls in the pond, and you're close by watching. And I think you said you were in a squatting position watching her.
Yes.
Was that like a yoga squat or a generalized squat? Do you often squat in that position?
Yes, I do. I have a little niece, so she's about 3 years old. So whenever I have to talk to her, I kind of squat and come to her eye level and,
I love that. So she's 3 years old, so she was born about the time that you went to Bali.
Yeah, that's, I think, yeah, like, more or less, a few months later, I'm guessing, because I'm not very sure.
So there's a kind of a connection there that, you associate squatting with getting down to eye level, which is really good, getting grounded, getting down to really, really see something and examine it. But it could also be to do with what you get out of relating with your 3-year-old niece, which could also take
Yes.
you back to when I got back from Bali from my holiday and I was feeling really good. Not long after that, I had a little niece and I found I was able to really get so much joy out of relating to her. In a sim if you put those two together, the sense of being on holiday in Bali 3 years ago, and the rewards that you get from communicating with your niece, what have they got in common?
I think I would say it's being present in the moment and enjoying where you are.
Yes, absolutely. And these are. We can get into this conversation later, but these are definitely challenges given to us by the lockdown.
Yes, unfortunately.
They are challenges that we can maybe meet, but under the most severe circumstances. So you've got this sense then into the dream now of I am good at squatting. I am good at getting onto eye level. I'm good at getting into being present in the now and enjoying that. And there's a similar sense at the end of the dream with the women with the dress with a dress that was more related to the 15th and 16th centuries. So you've got that sense through all there of getting in touch with that presence within yourself and that enjoyment. And yet, got the woman that fell into the pond, Namitha. And if we look at everyone in a dream as representing something about ourselves, which is the most courageous way to look at a dream, it's as if there's a part of yourself trips and falls. And that kind of does tie in with what you said about having a migraine and falling into a bit of a depression after that. So in this dream, it's almost like you're looking at yourself. I want to be in this present moment. I want to be enjoying things. I want to be at eye level with what's happening in the world. But sometimes things happen like the migraine. I trip and I fall. And in the dream, I'm really looking at this. I'm really, again, getting down to eye level and trying to understand. Why do I have the migraines and why do I have the depression? And perhaps how can I prevent this? Because later in the dream, it's like, well, no one's doing anything about it. She could be helped. So, one part of the dream we really want to go into is whether this dream, whether this fall is your migraine and the depression, or whether it's something else. But there was definitely around the time of this dream a sense of a trip and a fall. Now, I also got quite excited when you mentioned trip and fall because I realized that the beginning of the dream starts with your holiday in Bali, or we might say your trip to Bali.
Yeah,
So.
that's right.
Yeah, so I don't know whether your dream has just sort of brought up the Bali thing at the beginning, almost as if, we'll do a pun on words here, we'll bring in trip. but it could also be that, when you go on holiday, when you go on a trip, you had a really positive experience as you did. And maybe, just maybe, when we trip and fall into a migraine, into a depression, into a lockdown, maybe the benefits that we get from that in the long run are like going on holiday, even though it seems a million miles from that. There may be a connection there. What can I see? As if you're in the dream squatting down, what can I get about this? If I get right into the present moment of the, why do I get the migraines? Why do I get the depression after the migraines? Why are we in lockdown? Why is something else happening? Where in my life do I feel like I've tripped and fallen? What can I get out of this? What can I get out of this that is rich and rewarding for me, almost the same as going to Bali? Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay, so we've got that sense. And just as I say that, is there anything else that occurs to you apart from your migraine where you're thinking, yeah, that could fit this sensation of I had a trip and a fall?
Well, also, I guess it's because I'm an empath. Sometimes other stories impact me on a deeper level.
Yes.
So I can't really correlate this to one particular story, but the way I am seeing this, that the woman has fallen and nobody bothers about her, I guess that aspect of me showing concern and care,
yes,
kind of resonates with that tendency of mine.
That as an empath, you show care, and that's very strong in that sense in the dream. But there's also the sense of nobody's doing anything about this. Nobody's doing anything to get it out of the water. They could help.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Do you find yourself in that situation as an empath that you have the full connection with what's happening for someone, but you have a sense of helplessness?
Yes, sometimes. I guess, you know, at times when you feel like all you can offer is your company, but you wish you could do a little more.
Sometimes offering your company is more than enough, is a wonderful gift to give, you know, that presence that you were talking about, being in the now with someone, that is something to value.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But there's always that that feeling of, I wish I could do more.
Yes. And if you applied that to yourself as well, I wish I could do more, what would you like to be able to do more about your own predicament?
I think more... what brings me more like joy is to create, is to work on something, to put it out there, to work on a cause that you know is going to help someone, or just to find delight in just, you know, creating something for your own sake, just because you kind of can get into that space where you are fully in the flow of things.
And do you feel that you haven't been in the flow, Namitha?
Yes, I do feel a bit stuck, especially after, you know, life's changing so much because we had a lockdown and then went back to normal and then it's a lockdown again. So it's always shifting from one kind of an energy and your interaction with the world to like another, like every few months. So it kind of made me feel a bit challenged.
Yeah, absolutely. A sense of helplessness.
Yes, a sense of not knowing what to do or where to go or what to expect in the next few months or how you can plan things out.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's always been like a switch on and switch off. So I think that kind of an influence of lockdown has kind of made me feel a bit disoriented.
Mm-hmm. Are you a person that relies heavily on planning? Do you need it in your own life? Do you plan heavily normally?
I do not plan very long-term plans. I'm more about what I can do in 3 months or 5 months from now.
Mm.
But I think the sense of having something to look forward to, having something to... and I think the looking forward to is very related to the outer world. I think, you know, that is what is shifting right now, because I am more focusing on what I can do, you know, for myself for now in the next 1 week, or what I can complete in the next 1 month.
Yes.
But I think I was wired to kind of plan things more about, you know, where I could go, what place can I explore next, or... Mm. Or what can I do in collaboration with other people in the outside world? So I think that is changing a lot with the current scenario.
Mm. And all those, that attention has now had to focus within you. Where can I go within me instead of where can I go in the outer world? What initiatives can I address to myself rather than what initiatives can I address to the outer world?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, again, if we do look at everyone in a dream as representing someone, something about you, the dreamer, you've got this elderly lady authority. And so she represents an authority within you, the part of yourself that knows and has authority. And yet, in spite of her knowing about the woman having tripped in the pond, still nobody did anything. So that kind of does summarize what you've just said there, that sense of, I know that there's calamity in the world. I know that there's things that need to be done in the outer world. I know there's trouble. I know I'm an empath and I can imagine as well as know what's going on for people. And yet, even with that knowing, there's nothing is happening. There's nothing I can do about the outer world. There's talk going on in the dream, but no initiative, you said. There was no initiative to look into what happened. So when you describe yourself there, Namitha, you sound like a person of huge initiative. You know, you like to be creative. Yeah. You like to rise to challenge. You like to get out there and plan short-term things. You like to do things. You're used to having initiative. And in many ways, the dream is saying that at the time of the dream, there was a sense of powerlessness. I can't even take initiative here. My initiative is lost. And yet, if I could take initiative, I could help what seems to be falling. And at a time like lockdown, unless we can do anything in the outer world, we can only address our inner world. We have to turn that light within ourselves, as I know that you're doing, and say, well, where can I take the initiative within myself? What can I change within myself? Where can I help myself when I feel like I'm tripping and falling? Where can I help myself so that when I come out of lockdown, I've got that extra power within myself to help other people?
Yes, I think, you know, all that you said, I think it kind of mirrors things very well. Mm. In terms of, you know, I know that the woman is drowning, but you know, the woman in authority is not really concerned, or
yes,
you know, she is just going on about her own things and about things on her mind, and you know, so yes, I think I did kind of see a reflection there that,
yes,
although I know that these things are like happening and inevitable, I think taking power in my hand, probably I've been indifferent there.
Mm. It's one of our, I'm not saying that you're doing this, but it's one of many people's coping mechanisms when there is a lot of trauma in the world, is to become indifferent because you don't have the power to do anything, and to, right, save your sanity, you block it out a little bit, you become indifferent. And you know, there can be that sense of getting through, for example, lockdown, by cultivating some level of indifference, saying that when we come out of this, everything will change, and it's turning that powerlessness into ourselves and say, what can I do about to develop more, even more within myself that will make me more powerful and helpful when things open up, when I get outside. I'm struck by the fact that the pond, you said the pond had fungi, and I'm just looking at my notes here, fungi and a green deposit on the pond. And that green deposit is when there hasn't been much fresh water in the pond, isn't it? Like not a lot of oxygen, is that right?
Yes.
And fungi tend to grow on decomposing things.
Yep.
So we've got the sense that
and something that's not being washed or cleaned well, or, you know, something that's just been left to nature for like really long.
Yeah. Yes. Left to nature in a sense where nature hasn't been able to refresh it. It's stale. It's dying, this pond. So, you know, that's highlighting in the dream that this fall into the pond is into something that seems not to have vitality, that seems to be losing vitality and seems to be dying in a sense. Even though it's actually got a lot of life in it, a fungi is life. The green deposit is algae, and it is life. It's just a different form of life to the flowers and everything in the rest of the dream. It's a sense of what is decaying. You've got all the rest of the dream. You've got the bright flowers, and we'll come to those in a minute. What's blossoming and what's blooming and what's good, and then almost in contrast, you've got this other, still growing, but things growing on decay, the fungi growing on decay, the algae growing on decay, a different sense of what is growing from what is decomposing and what is dying.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm. So we can sort of return to that lockdown theme. And I know for a lot of people listening in many countries in the world, this will be relevant to them too. It's that as things in our lives decay and end, whether that's in lockdown, whether it's when we come out of lockdown and we find ourselves in a different world, there'll be a period of what has ended, what has died, for good or for bad, what is going to be born from this, in what ways are we going to find ourselves in a changed world, and how can we make this a good changed world? So, you know, there is a place for death of the old and birth of the new, even while there is sadness of actual death happening at the moment and change.
But yes.
Yeah. In your dream, you particularly mentioned, you said it's the kind of pond with the fungi and the green slime on the surface. You said it's the kind of pond where you could easily, I'm just trying to find where I wrote it down. You wrote, if you walked backwards, you could slip up. So there was that sense of there not looking where you're going if you walk backwards. Or if you go back in progress, you know, you regress rather than progress. So there's a sense of, if I am not moving forward on a day-to-day basis, maybe I'm standing still and stagnant like the pond, or maybe I'm going backwards and I'm going to fall in the pond. And there's also that sense of, if you're going backwards, you don't see the pond, so you fall in it. So there's a sense of, you know, you've got the beginning of the dream where you're squatting and you're really looking and being present and seeing what's happening, compared to this part of the dream where you say, well, if you were going backwards, you wouldn't see. So there's this whole thread through the dream there of what can I see and focus on, and what might I not see if I feel that things are going backwards?
Well, that's one of the things that I kind of that came up, you know, in my thought in the dream, that this surface is very slimy, so it's easy to fall down, you know. And I kind of thought that's probably why the woman fell down, you know. She was probably like, I mean, and everybody there was pretty much barefoot. I think even I was barefoot, so
in a sense barefoot when you would normally be in sure-footed connection to the ground, but in this case being on shaky slippery ground instead, a place where you would normally feel that you could walk securely, you're not. Things are feeling slippery.
Right, because also it was a wet, kind of a wet ground, because there was pond and people were doing the rituals and there was kind of water, you know, around. So it was not very dry, but it was not filled with water. It was kind of like, you know, that wet brick.
Oh, yes, I know what you mean. Yeah, and slippery.
Yeah, like the brick is soaked in all the water, but it's like wet on top of it. So
Yes.
yeah, and it's slippery, and there's grass growing in between the bricks.
It's because it hasn't been tended to, the grass is growing.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's right.
So
Yeah.
if I said to you at the time of the dream, was there a feeling of there are things that I haven't tended to, and that's possibly an area where I might slip up in my life because I haven't tended to things.
That could
Yeah.
be.
In the women in this part of the dream were doing the rituals and they were praying and they had the orange and yellow garlands. What were they praying for? Did you get any sense? Did you know in the dream what the rituals were aimed toward?
Jane, that's one of the things. I don't really know what they were praying. I couldn't really hear any chants or any prayers out loud. I think the whole atmosphere was such that it was noisy with a lot of things happening, but I couldn't get a bite of what really was being chanted or talked or spoken amongst people. So
And
yeah,
what
I don't think there was any one word. I
and
think,
no, you didn't pick
yeah.
up any clues. But what was the energy of it, if you had to put a word on the energy of their prayers and their rituals?
Strong, very connected. People closing their eyes and doing rituals with water and these plates with flowers. So
So this is a
yeah, I think
part,
that's what I picked up.
yeah. So what strikes me there when you say that is there's quite a contrast between the strong and connected energy of their rituals and their
Yes.
chanting, and the opposite to that with the slipperiness around the pond, which where your feet aren't connected to the ground because there's slipping happening.
Yes, yeah.
So it's like, how do I deal with this slipping, sliding kind of feeling where I don't feel grounded? I'm getting into the spiritual side, which is what you said earlier on. You said at the time, particularly of the lunar eclipse, you were particularly getting into total lunar eclipse. You were particularly getting into strengthening your spirituality and your own rituals. So they could represent that sense there of while life to me is feeling slippery, slidey. Losing connection with the earth, I am actually bringing in the sense of represented by these women of bringing in and doing rituals for more strength and more connection, and particularly because you see these women as more the pre-16th and 17th century, you've got that time that you relate to being able to be more present, more focused, not busy. I think you said the word was they weren't busy in the sense that we can be busy in these days. So there's a real feeling in the dream of you wanting to, while on the one hand, wanting, missing being out in the world and being able to do things for people and be powerful for people and help people and be creative and take initiative, there's another part of you that is saying, if I wasn't so busy, if I didn't surround myself with busyness, I could maybe cultivate more strength and more connection in the way that these women did.
Yeah, I think yes, I mean, the whole mood was very quiet and very calm. So I think that's something that I think that was one of the first things that I picked up in the dream. Yeah, it was very, very clear, that quality of vibrancy, but very calm, vibrancy, not the busy,
Yes.
chaotic or like very eye-catching way, but
Yes.
in a very calm manner. Like everybody is going on doing about their own things and nobody is really seeking any attention or no flashy things to catch, to kind of draw somebody's attention, but just being,
Just being.
Yeah.
Just being instead of doing busy.
Yep.
Yeah. I do want to ask about the colours of the flowers in a minute because they're important, but do you have a sense that, and you might not be able to really be practical about it at the moment, but do you have a sense that it could be good after lockdown when you go out into the world again to take initiative and be creative and help people from a quieter, calmer, just being energy rather than from a busy, attention-seeking, as you put it, energy? Do you think you could possibly achieve more from a different energy point of view?
Yes, I think that is, you know, just creating brings me joy. And most of the times, I think I create just to find delight, just to indulge myself. So
yes. But, you know, just in indulging yourself is usually exactly where we produce something that is beautiful for other people. So we may be indulging ourselves, but we're actually gifting to others.
Yeah, it's so turned out that a few times that's happened. You know, I'm just working on something that's really, you know, taking my curiosity and it's making me think and think differently and like do differently. And after a point of reaching, you know, after reaching a certain point in that process, an idea strikes and I kind of have collaborated with people to bring it out to the world. So yeah, I think, you know, when I indulge in myself and my curiosity, I think, you know, just doing it without an outcome agenda to get an outcome.
Yes. That's, you expressed that so beautifully, Namitha. It was so beautifully done.
Thank you.
That is definitely the way for you. There's other questions and other things I want to discuss, but that is definitely the way for you to begin to turn your attention to squat, to focus, to look at what, to be present, and to, when you go back out into the world again, or even to begin now, to just indulge, to find the light for yourself. And that's where, as you say, you then think differently, you do differently, you be differently. The ideas come up, you find collaboration, and suddenly you've got something wonderful, and you go out in the world with that. And instead of being busy, 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 I've got to draw attention, I've got to sell this thing, I've got to do this thing, whatever, whatever, whatever. It's a sense of, I'm just being, I'm not doing busy. Look what I've done. This, I have a collaboration, we can do this. Now with this, we can, this is initiative. You know, in the middle of the dream, there was this worry about the woman's in the pond and no one's taking initiative. You take the initiative from what you create in that beautiful state of mind. When you have a migraine,
yes.
I'm sure you've done all sorts of observations in yourself to try to determine what brings a migraine on, and I don't know whether you've ever noticed any pattern, but is it often that when you're busy, 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 you have a migraine?
I think it's busy thinking about, you know, something that you have to do, and also thinking about something that just comes up, you know? Thinking about something just turns up in your mind and you kind of give it attention, but you know, it's kind of taking you down that rabbit hole.
Yes.
But you kind of lose that sense of control and the energy changes, you know? I feel like that energy which was focused on, or not even focused, you know, sometimes that energy which is more spontaneous and which is more, you know, take it as it comes, it's kind of changed to focusing on this thing that just like spiraled. It's kind of spiraling.
Spirals into a migraine and also spirals down the rabbit hole, or one could say falls into the pond. Which, you know, I think at the beginning of the dream when the woman fell into the pond, I said, you know, one aspect of that may be falling into a migraine, falling into a depression. But again, you've pinpointed that so beautifully, Namitha. It's that when you're thinking and thinking and you get attached to a thought process, and it's all head stuff and it's thinking, and then you get a migraine in your head because your head is so full and under pressure with the thinking, and it spirals down to the rabbit hole / pond. And yet there's that other energy which you've just discussed so beautifully, where you create something and indulge yourself to find the light, which is completely different from the thinking of the head. And it's that indulging and creativity that actually at the end of the day has the practical outcome in the outer world. So again, it's a shift from the thinking head stuff, doing busy, into more heart, being present in a sense of joy, indulging, finding a sense of flow. And this is what I give to the world. This is what has a flow on effect. This is what works. So that migraine, or the feeling of the migraine, is perhaps your body saying to you, Namitha, stop head stuff, switch to heart stuff.
Yes, yeah. I think it's a clear sign. But sometimes it's just... how do I put this? It's, you know, you get into it knowingly.
Yes.
You know, in the back of your head that, you know, this isn't going to get anywhere. But I think you kind of, weak spot, you know?
It's a weak spot. You get sucked in.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that you say you get into it knowingly, because back in the dream, that elderly lady, authority lady, you said in spite of her knowing, nobody bothered. In spite of her knowing, nobody bothered. So you've got that sense here that when I have the sense of knowing, I still, it's not that you don't bother, but you can't get yourself out of this thing. There's a sense of knowing. You know, and in the long term, it is, I guess, gradually being patient with yourself and each time saying, there I am, I'm getting into this rabbit hole. I know it. I do know it. Maybe this time I can become aware and pull myself out. Or maybe this time I can become aware and pull myself out. But I will give you later a dream alchemy to hopefully pull yourself out of that and begin to ease the migraines. And also, more importantly, stop you getting into that rabbit hole of thinking that you, instead of it being a knowing thing, that we make it an automated, I'm not going there, I'm going to indulge myself in a creative project because that's ultimately more helpful for me and for the world avenue. But there's one other question I want to ask about your dream before we go there. And it's probably everyone listening is wanting me to ask it as well, I hope. It's the beauty of the orange and yellow garlands everywhere. And obviously garlands is a Hindu thing. But what do orange and yellow garlands have a specific ritual meaning? Or if not, what do those colors mean to you?
I think in rituals, they usually use fresh flowers, white, orange, yellow, whatever is grown abundantly in that particular region.
Mm.
But I've seen a lot of orange, yellow flowers like all over India. So I think they do have a specific meaning attached to it. To me, I think one of my favorite colors is yellow. It signifies sunshine, vibrancy, vitality, and it looks good on me. So it's one of my favorite colors.
And orange?
Orange signifies life, nourishment, nurturing. It signifies the juicy element, you know, because you think of orange,
yes,
fruit, or naranga.
Yes.
So yeah, I think it has a very fond meaning to me.
I love all of that. So in a sense, your unconscious mind and your dream has maybe brought up the yellow and orange to portray that energy of everything that you said there, the sunshine, vibrancy, vitality, nourishment, nurturing, life, all of those things kind of bunched together. And they are things that throughout the dream are things that you want to focus on. And the fact that yellow looks totally good on you, it's not a side thing. You know, in terms of your dream, it's also saying how I can give the best of myself out into the world as well. So there's a sense of that those colours are the strong energy direction you're going there. I want to work towards a dream alchemy, but can you, first of all, are there any other questions about the dream? And secondly, what's the the strongest thing that you've learned, or the strongest idea you've got from what we've been exploring today?
Well, firstly, Jane, I think you've beautifully covered pretty much all elements of my dream, and it's been a wonderful opening of, different meanings that this could possibly have.
Mm.
Thank you for that.
It's a pleasure.
I think I'm pretty settled on what we spoke.
Mm.
Yeah, so, I don't think there's any question lingering on my head.
Oh,
right,
that's
now.
Really good. And which is the bit that really stands out to you above all else, either the symbol or the feeling or what we've talked about?
From what we've spoken, I think some of the key things that kind of stood out was the spiraling effect and the woman falling.
Mm.
I think it kind of, makes me realize that this could be a correlation to this.
Mm.
And also the woman in authority, knowing but not acting.
Yes.
I think that particular, essence to that character.
Mm.
And the squatting, the playfulness, the being in the present and trying to see the world the way it is.
Okay, that's beautiful, because what I want to do is I want to create a dream alchemy for you that highlights, that brings some of those characteristics in. And essentially, we want to transform some of those. So for people listening in, that maybe if this is the first time you've ever heard the show, Namitha, I just want to do an aside to people listening in. Dream alchemy is a process where if you've identified something in the dream that relates to your life that you'd like to change, then you do that by doing dream alchemy. And dream alchemy is picking some symbols from the dream or picking a drama from the dream. We're just about to demonstrate this, and working it up into a form that the dreamer then applies. And it's a way of talking directly to your unconscious mind, because it's your unconscious mind that chooses the symbols in your dreams, the yellow, orange flowers, the woman tripping into the pool, whatever. And so the best way to reprogram or rewire our unconscious mind or our brain is to talk to our unconscious mind using the language that it created in the dream. And that's what we're going to do, Namitha. So I was thinking, see how you feel about this. It could be done as a visualization. It could be done as artwork or writing. I'll ask you about that later. But if we did something like we had you, if we were imagining it as a visualization to start with, and we had you either actually squatting when you do the visualization, because that puts you in that playful seeing the world in a different way. I like that. It shifts perspective. It puts you in the present moment. So we could actually have you squatting while you're doing the visualization. And what you would visualize is seeing the woman in authority, who in the dream is knowing but not acting. We see her know and act. And what she's going to do is she's going to pull the woman out of the pond and bring her out and maybe give her a garland of the yellow and orange flowers. So what we will be doing in that essence is saying, transforming a part of yourself that knows but doesn't act, that's a spiraling down the rabbit hole or into the pond, actually taking an action, so we're changing that, and the part of yourself that falls, that trips and falls into the migraine or trips and falls into a depression or trips and falls into feeling helpless and feeling that you're going to be, or trips and falls into busyness and all the things we discussed, we're changing that into helping her out of the pool and giving her the orange and yellow garland and watching her in the visualization feel not helpless, in her feet in contact with the ground, feeling strong, feeling connected. Maybe she even starts to chant with the women. So we're transforming those elements. In general, does that feel like that would be the way to go to you?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I'm already visualizing that, and it
Oh,
feels
good.
really good.
Okay. That's great because, you could, if you wanted, do it as it's artwork and have all that encapsulated in the artwork, or you could do it as writing, just as a poem or as a short story. There are many ways you can capture it, but I think that's what you'll do. I don't need to give you much more instruction. Dream alchemy is quite an intricate process because, there are ways of drawing together the elements of the dream. But one of the things you do need to do when you do a dream alchemy is transform the emotion. So, we want to transform the sense of spiraling down emotion into a sense of and the emotion of slipping and tripping, which don't sound like emotions, but you know what I mean. We want to transform those into that sense of grounded confidence, feet on the ground, and the vitality and vibrancy and nurturing and nourishment of the yellow and orange. So while you do the visualization, as the woman takes action and pulls the woman, other woman out of the pond, for you to actually go from a sense of in action and spiraling down to imagine and summoning up this wonderful feeling of everything that I've just described there, and then placing the yellow and orange on them. And with a dream alchemy visualization, keep it as short as you can. Now that one is quite a complex one that we've made between us, Namitha, but it's still a good one to use. Just don't let it get out of control. Don't let it grow. Don't let it morph. Don't let it change. Don't let it get more complicated. Keep it to those really simple steps. And in doing that, you should be able to get that visualization down to 10, 20 seconds, no more than that. And that's including getting down into a squatting position and getting up again. And
Yes, perfect.
then doing that visualization 20 to 30 times a day for a couple of weeks to really nail it. If you then begin to notice yourself going down that spirally thing or beginning to get a migraine, to then do the visualization again then. So you're keep popping it in there. And also just to know for yourself that we have come up with a wonderful formula for you of how to actually begin now during lockdown and step out after lockdown by going into that creative indulging, which feels like indulging, but actually is what you're here to do because that's where you find the energy to change the world.
Yes, sounds wonderful, Jane.
Okay. Well, thank you and for being a wonderful guest. And I look forward, keep me in touch, Namitha, with how you go with that. It's always lovely for me to personally hear back from guests on the show to find out how it has changed your life. And I and everyone listening, particularly at this time, wish you well and a speedy exit from lockdown in India. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jane, and thanks, Michael, for having me.
I'm sure we all got so much out of that interpretation. Listening to somebody else's dream being interpreted and being explored is, of course, primarily totally resonant with the person. And deeply meaningful in their life, but there's always things that we can borrow to apply to our own lives, and sometimes things that resonate with us, and particularly for a lot of us all over the world still dealing with different levels of lockdown and emergence. There's a lot to take from that. Now, some of you who know quite a lot about dream alchemy and creating dream alchemy might have astutely noticed that I mixed two different modalities there. I gave Namitha a visualization, but also gave her a kinesthetic dream alchemy because we had her sitting in or squatting. So we got her adopting a body position. And some dream alchemy you can give by getting the body to do or move in certain ways. And of course, there was also the visualization. So I combined two, which will make it extremely powerful for her. If you'd like to understand more about how to create and prescribe dream alchemy, you'll find when you go to the Dream Academy, my online learning platform at dream-academy-online.com. The second course there, Dream Alchemy, actually takes you through how to create Dream Alchemy for any particular dream. You do need to have done the first course, How to Interpret Your Dreams Step by Step first, because they follow on from each other. And both of those courses, the How to Interpret Your Dreams Step by Step and the Dream Alchemy one, both have videos of me talking to you and taking you through things and notes that you can download and everything you would expect on an online course, and you get certificates at the end. But they also have charts that I've made up, charts that you, in the first course, How to Interpret Your Dream Step by Step, you fill in the chart as I take you through the steps. And by the time you've filled in the chart, you've got an interpretation of your dream. And the same with Dream Alchemy. There are charts that you download, prescription charts, which take you through the elements that you fill in as you explore a dream and you create the Dream Alchemy. And by the time you've completed the prescription chart, you've got your Dream Alchemy. So I don't think I've ever actually described that on the podcast before. So I thought I would go into that, given that we did that kind of double Dream Alchemy practice for Namitha there. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. If you'd like to be a guest on The Dream Show, go to janetheresa.com, go to the menu, go to The Dream Show, and on the drop-down box underneath that, you'll find Be a Guest on The Dream Show or something like that. I know I'll be speaking and working with some of you between now and the next episode. Do please remember to share all these Dream Show podcasts that you enjoy with other people. And also, if you would love to, it would be really lovely if you just scroll down on whatever device you're on when you're listening and just give us a rating or even a review. That would be great too. The next episode of The Dream Show, episode 245, will be coming out on the 15th of July, 2021, if you're listening to this in real time. Have a wonderful month. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.